Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You know, control, can be talked about. But the bottom line is, man, we're just not performing well enough. And so I'm less concerned about control of the division and more concerned about the quality of our performance at this juncture.
The fate of the division is now out of the Steelers' hands. We'll need help from the Baltimore Ravens and what will be an AFC North day for the ages, I guess. Week 18 on Saturday with Cleveland and Baltimore playing at 4:30. Ravens favored by 18 points. And the Steelers will host Cincinnati. Bengals favored by 3. Bengals need some help, need a win, and some help from a few others to be able to get in. That game will be at 8 o'clock at Acrisure Stadium. It is the Pomp and Joe Show. I have moved from behind the glass to the host chair, typically where Joe is. Bob is on his way to the press conference to just be able to get you ready for Mike Tomlin, who, because of the game being on Saturday, will speak to the media today at noon. So Brian Bacco will join us at noon, and Brian will be with us from noon up until 2 o'clock. Austin Bechtold alongside with Sean Meyer. Sean, great to be with you.
Howdy, a nice little surprise today to see you.
It was a surprise. So it basically a spot start, a call from the bullpen. When the bell rings, we answer the bell. And on his way to the press conference and joining us for the first 20 minutes or so of the show is our dear Bob Pompeiani. Hello, Bob.
Austin, I'm glad to see you're flexible. And same for Sean. I mean, this is a fluid situation, as they say in the business.
Yes, ever-changing. We had no idea what was going to happen when we woke up this morning. So have to be adaptable and flexible. But in terms of adaptability and flexibility, Bob, I feel like this schedule that the Steelers have had, other than like the 2020 season, I kind of throw that one out the window for just how much of an anomaly it was. This seems like one of the oddest schedules that the Steelers have ever played in terms of days that they've played. This is now, what, 3 Saturday games? They've played a Wednesday. They hosted a Monday night football game, 2 Sunday night football games at home. Especially the home schedule, it just seems so odd compared to previous years.
It is odd, and quite frankly, this is all, in my opinion anyway, the byproduct of Hard Knocks and trying to make money on that television program, which is controlled by the NFL. These schedules don't make a lot of sense to me, to be honest. You'd never really expect a team that's an 18.5-point favorite to be in a Saturday primetime slot, which is 4:30 in the afternoon, and then a game that could mean nothing in terms of you know, the division. If Baltimore wins, which they should, the division's out the door, and so the Steelers know that they're in and they're not going to win the division. So that may alter what they play. This screams of Hard Knocks.
That is like the first thing that I thought of, and I know a couple of people on Twitter gave me a little bit of pushback for that, but it just, I mean, basically, I think Hard Knocks is going to sell it as storyline, end of the season, AFC North football, all on the same day, standalone primetime games. You made a good point at my tweet saying that they get another day for editing as well. That just screams Hard Knocks to me. But in terms of what it means for the Steelers, we know that Tomlin has not been good on short weeks. Now he's had ample amount of time to prepare for Cincinnati now because of the Wednesday game against the Chiefs. This game, to me, being in prime time at home, I think helps the Steelers a little bit because I know they feed off the crowd at prime time a lot, and historically they've been very good in prime time at home under Mike Tomlin. But I am still concerned with this Cincinnati team that's buzzing with a chance to get into the playoffs, and they're not going to know what their fate is. Like, it's not like they're playing on Sunday at 4:30, which it was speculated that this game was going to be, and Cincinnati would maybe know what happened in the Miami game or what happened in the Denver game. What are your main thoughts about the matchup?
Well, first of all, you're right. They're not going to know anything until Sunday. So they have every reason to play hard and to play to win. And that's not to say the Steelers don't, because the Steelers, if they do, will get a 5 seed and play Houston as opposed to a 6 seed and play the Ravens. And I know people out there are going to throw that, well, look what the Steelers done against the Ravens. I would not want to play the Ravens right now. As far as this matchup, this is a bad Bengals team, generally, except for one big name, and that's Stu, actually, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They are doing things that have given the Steelers problems in their defensive secondary. If you look at the last 3 games here, Austin, they've given up 8 touchdown passes, and all the quarterbacks who've gone up against them have been extremely successful. This quarterback, there are people arguing he should be MVP of the league, even though he's on a dog team. And that's you can make an argument based on what he's been able to do. So given the fact that they've had so many defensive lapses of late, I think that Joe Burrow, Chase, Higgins, and everyone they got on that team could be a substantial problem for them heading into this game.
And the Steelers, people were saying, well, I mean, they're pretty much going to potentially lose this game to Cincinnati, go into the playoffs against Baltimore, and maybe lose that one. The whole conversation over the past week, Bob, has been, what constitutes a successful season in your mind for the Steelers? Because for me, expectations changed when they were 10-3 and they were going into this stretch that we knew was going to define the season and not even win one game. If they go to Baltimore and lose, then they lose. They've already lost out on the division to Baltimore. This is not a successful season in my mind.
No, not after the way it started. And I realized, I think all of us at the beginning of the year here said that if they take advantage of the first half of their schedule, they should pad themselves enough, you know, leeway so that these crazy games at the end and how close they are together would not be as big of a problem. And that's exactly what's happened. They built a 10-3 record, and they gave themselves some insulation scheduling-wise so that they can, you know, lose a couple of games. I didn't expect them to go 0-3 in this stretch, but they did. And, you know, so now all of a sudden you're back to, okay, what are they now? 10-3 and a first-round playoff exit will not be a successful season to me. They made that clear from the beginning when Art Rooney came out and said that it's time for some playoff wins, and after 8 years it is. So this season will generally be capsulized with what they do here, and they can turn their game around. I'm not going to rule that out. I mean, they played some pretty good football early when they played the Commanders and even the Ravens early on. They play some pretty good football. They're capable of that, but we haven't seen it of late. So normally, as Mike Tomlin said in your intro there, it's about how you're playing, not so much where you're playing in the playoffs. If you're playing well, you could win in a lot of places. If you're not, you can lose at home.
Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Do you think it's a success if they beat Cincinnati and then go to Houston, a team that's reeling right now? They've fallen apart. Baltimore picked them apart 31-2 on Christmas. And beat Houston, but then get blown out by a Kansas City or a Buffalo.
Well, you say blown out. As long as they win a playoff game this year, I think that's a step in the right direction. I still think they have, you know, and I don't expect them to get blown out of these, even if it was. I would expect them to be involved in this game, mostly because I think you have a veteran quarterback now who knows how to deal in these situations. At least you know, the Baltimore game in Baltimore came down to a pick six. I mean, they were in the game until the very end, and then a bad throw by Russell Wilson to find it. But, you know, as long as they go in and win a game, I don't care where it is in the first round, and then lose the second round, to me it's a step in the right direction. I don't know what successful is or isn't. To me, they want to win championships. By that standard, it's not successful. But it will be in terms of where they're going the last couple of years, and they're making a little bit of progress. The bigger question will be, how does their quarterback picture play out, Austin, here moving forward? Because you got two guys who are at the end of deals. You have to make decisions. And in lieu of watching Kirk Cousins sign that huge contract and then fall apart, and I'm not saying that could happen to Russell Wilson, but he is 37, going to be 38 mid-season next year. So you got to be leery of that. And I'm still curious about Justin Fields and his youth. So they got a lot of tough decisions at the end of this year.
Yeah, I am too, because the situation that you point out in Atlanta, Michael Penix played pretty well. And I don't expect them to ever go back to Kirk Cousins at this point. No, they didn't win the game. But I don't think that could be even be an approach for the Steelers this year. The top two quarterbacks, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, are going to go in the top five. Other than that, it's a really thin class compared to last year where there were six guys taken.
Right, and they may have to revisit that whole situation of trying to figure out their next quarterback. I don't know how it's going to play out. But you're right, it's not as deep, at least on paper you don't think it is, with this quarterback situation. And yeah, Atlanta would never go back on Penix now. Why would you? He threw a tremendous touchdown pass on a fourth down desperation play to Kyle Pitts that gave them the tie. I was curious. I thought I would have gone for two there. I just still this day when you win the coin toss, you win the game mostly. So I don't know if I were Atlanta at that point. I might have gone for two and tried to win the game with a rollout RPO to Michael Penix.
I still don't like that rule, Bob. I really don't. And I understand that it's different in the playoffs, but even if it's just in the regular season, I think both teams should possess the ball unless there's a defensive score. Because in that case, both teams truly have possessed the ball because the defense took it away and scored, or it was a safety and there was 2 points taken for the other team. It just still bothers me, and I know it's also a race against the clock, but maybe Atlanta would have been able to go down and tie it and then make a two-point conversion with like 2 seconds left and win it. I still have a problem with the rule, at least being in the regular season.
Well, I do too. I don't think that should come down to that, because especially this quote dynamic kickoff rule now, where you're going to get the ball to 30. I have some pretty good kickers in this league who can kick it from 58 to 62 yards. All you need is like 35 yards. So if you want to, you know, I know it doesn't end on a field goal, but my point is, if you take off enough time and then you kick a field goal, even the other team may get the ball, but with not a lot of time left. I wish both teams can touch it once. I still maintain that that's the fairest way to do it. They cut the time from 15 to 10 minutes. Safety issues. But I still think it's a flawed, somewhat flawed system.
Well, unless you're the Falcons kicker who missed a 57-yarder in the game to potentially win it. What a turn of events at the end of that game when they missed a 57-yarder. You go to overtime, and pretty much as soon as Washington gets the football, game over. But that's neither here nor there. When you look ahead to this Bengals game, what do you think's the main key? It's obviously slowing down Joe Burrow and limiting Ja'Marr Chase as much as possible. But the Steelers won a shootout the last time that they played. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that's a similar level of football that we see. But the Steelers' offense over the last couple of weeks, I mean, their line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball has kind of gotten beaten up.
Yes, it has. But I think if you're looking for a feel-good way to get your offense rolling in the right direction heading into the postseason, this is the team you want to play. Again, the defense and their issues, that's a problem against a guy like Burrow. But if you can still do what they did in that first training, which is move the ball up and down, and then win the game or even lose, it doesn't matter. If your offense gets going at the right time of year, you know, that can catapult into something pretty good. And this is a good defense to go against because they've been not good at stopping most every team they play. So I think I would expect a lot of points in this game. I really do. I think you're not going to stop Joe Burrow. You may contain him a couple of times, but they're going to have to score their share of points, and we'll see what this offense can do. Although, lately, as you said, their offensive line is being beat up at the line of scrimmage, so that's something that has to rectify itself this week.
Yeah, I wonder if it's more an interior of the line. Like, Zach Frazier's been very good this year, but him and Mason McCormick have been a little suspect over the last couple of games. Dan Moore was getting just thrown around at times in the last game as well. And, you know, when I think about the line, you think about the, you don't think about it, but you do think about the losses that they've had with James Daniels and Troy Faltano on the right side of that line. Do you think that maybe this young line is just exposed is not the right word. That's too strong of a word. But they're starting to get figured out.
I think they're also a little fatigued. This is not college football, although college football is trending toward 15, 16 game seasons for everybody. But, you know, this is not what you're used to playing in over time. I think there absolutely is a fatigue factor. They're certainly not going to admit it. They get out there and play, but it's tough. It's a grueling physical game in those trenches, especially with some of these 360-pound guys you got to see, you know, play in and play out. So I give those guys credit. I think Frazier and McCormick have been really good, knowing that they, you know, especially McCormick, you know, thrown into this situation. That's not easy for anyone to do, let alone a rookie. So, yeah, but hopefully this extra day of rest here this week or a few days of rest, playing on Wednesday to next Saturday now, will help them kind of rejuvenate themselves getting ready for this game and then the postseason.
I think we all know that Mike Tomlin was going to be asked about it. How do you expect him, if at all, to address what Deshaun Elliott said in the locker room, what Patrick Queen said, with Cam Hayward saying if 10 guys do their job, we're screwed? He's going to be asked about it. Do you expect him just to brush it off? I kind of do.
Yeah, I think he'll say that's internal stuff, whatever he normally goes by on those situations. However, I do think it is. There's a lot, especially Deshaun Elliott. He was extremely frustrated after this game and not shy about speaking out about just about everyone on that defense. You know, he came back. He missed all those games. He came back, and he was the one saying, what's going on here? You're not making your tackles. You can't let guys wide open. Well, somebody's letting them go wide open. So they got to sort that out. That's why I talk about Joe Burrow and his team here. You know, the last thing you want to do is have guys running free. It's hard enough stopping him when you have tight coverage. But when you run him free, man, you're asking for trouble.
The text line is brought to you by Eggers Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. A good buddy of mine is a former D1 defensive back, and we were going back and looking at some of the tape over the last couple of days. We were shooting back and forth messages and on the phone talking about the Isaiah Likely touchdown from a couple of weeks ago, the Xavier Worthy score, Travis Kelce just being wide open over the middle of the field. And a lot of the fingers, I think, are being pointed at Cam Sutton, maybe with a little bit of a side eye towards Minka. And part of that might be, well, how many snaps does Cam Sutton really play? 31% in the Baltimore game, 70% in the Kansas City game. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see Cam Sutton start to see his playing time reduced a little bit, because it seemed like when Beanie Bishop was in there, other than the first couple games, when he started to get his feet wet and play well, their secondary was significant, maybe not significantly, but better than it is right now.
Oh, I agree with that. I think Beanie Bishop had an impact. You notice him a little bit more than you do with Cam Sutton. And now there's some intricate things going on there defensively about who's responsible. It looks one way sometimes when it can be the other. And that's what's led to finger pointing, I'm sure, inside the locker room with some of these guys, where you're not sure whose responsibility it is based on the defensive game plan that's called or that scheme on that particular play. So I'm not sure who's at fault. It seems like I would agree with your assessment there, but I'm sure it's more than just one or two guys. I think a lot of guys are at fault when your defense gives up so many yards so easily and easy touchdown passes to these teams that are really good football teams. And I think that's the one thing that's happened after these three games is the Steelers have revealed that they're not at that level yet, and they got to keep trying to get to that level.
Well, and that's the thing. How much should have expectations changed in people's minds? It seems like it was maybe a little bit of fool's gold because they beat up on some good teams. Washington's good. I mean, they just clinched a playoff spot. That's a good football team that they beat. They did beat Baltimore. They've beat them 8 out of the last 10. But I feel like that the Steelers have kind of gotten exposed for what they are. Like, it's been revealed. I wanted them to win at least one of these three games because isn't it fair to say, though, Bob, that Russell Wilson was brought in here to win those types of games? He beat Buffalo. He beat Kansas City back-to-back games, even though there was a bye in between when he was with Denver, the team that wanted to cast him off. I just thought that he was going to win at least one of them.
Yeah, I mean, the Baltimore one was the one, and he had his fingerprints all over that loss. I thought he played pretty good in that game, except for the fumble at the goal line, which was just he's trying to make a big-time play. I get it. I can absolve him of that, even though you don't want to give the ball away in that situation. But the defense then allowed them to go 96 yards the other way. So there's two to tango there. But in the other two games, I haven't seen, not much at all. But again, it's about what you have also in your pass game. George Pickens had missed a couple of those games. He comes back for one. I had an uneasy feeling when I saw him crash their post-game presser on the field with Mahomes and Kelce. I'm wondering, what are you doing there?
Yeah, what's up with that? Like,
I've never seen that.
I don't understand that at all.
You don't need to do that. Yeah, well, I don't know what that means.
And it seemed like you have to know in that situation, if you're George Pickens, that they are on the air. Because literally they are being interviewed with the microphone almost like about to be right in their face to answer questions. Like, is that a George Pickens stunt to try to like showcase to the league, hey everybody, like I'm a good teammate, I'm a good person, not what they make me out to be a little bit. That was just so odd to me.
Well, whatever the reason, it just was the wrong time and the wrong place to do it after you just got crushed by a team like that. So, I don't know. I'm sure this week he'll be asked about it. I suspect he won't give an answer. But it's just it was the wrong time to do it. And not that I always – and I try to stay away from drawing conclusions to people and my and what body language and what's said and all this stuff, because I think sometimes it's way out of whack. Like I saw Kenny Pickett's thing yesterday. If you watch that whole play, he got hit – his arm got hit. He was trying to protect the football while trying to make a throwing motion. Everyone made it sound like he sacked himself. But if you look at that whole play, you know, you could be led to believe one thing when it really isn't the other. I don't know what the real reason with George Pickens why he did that. I just don't think it's the proper time to do it, of course.
No, I had no problem with what he did, but I had a problem with when he did it. You know, like it happens all the time when players after the game will meet at midfield and they'll meet, and maybe there's a jersey exchange. Maybe they just want to say what's up and so we'll see you in the offseason or we'll see you in a couple weeks, whatever it might be. But George Pickens knew what he was doing in that situation. What did you make of Kenny Pickett's performance? Because in the first half, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I just found out he was playing with broken ribs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, that tells you he was willing to get out there and do it and to take a couple of shots before and during the game. But, I mean, it was Kenny Pickett performance. Not a lot of yardage. I thought he did what he had to do. The one thing I'll say about him, and he may not be ever a franchise starting quarterback, but he will be a good and make a lot of money being a good backup quarterback. There are people who love to have him in that role. That could have been his role here too if he, you know, allowed it to play forward. I don't know what went on that made him think that, he wanted to do more here after they brought in and made some changes. Just sometimes you just got to do your job. Don't worry about what happens and just outperform people. And I think in his role as a backup, he's going to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, I don't think he's an NFL quality starting quarterback that you can consistently rely on to win you games and especially playoff games. But Bob, appreciate your time. I know you got to get into the press conference and get rolling with Tomlin. Thanks for joining to start the show.
All right, Austin. Carry on, my wayward son. We'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. I'll do my best to steer the ship. The six-pack is brought to you by Bet365. We can get into a six-pack a little bit later on. We'll be joined by Brian Bacco. After Mike Tomlin speaks to the media at noon, you can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. It is 10:31. Now's the time to make that call to Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Up next, we'll get your thoughts. What do you think Mike Tomlin's going to say? Do you think Mike Tomlin will even address what Deshaun Elliott and others said in the locker room after the Steelers lost by just embarrassing fashion, 19 points to Kansas City at home on Christmas Day, 412-928-9370. We'll also get into what the current AFC playoff picture looks like, what a Steelers win would mean, what a Steelers loss would mean, and if the Steelers lose, what the situation would play out to be to potentially be the sixth seed. The Steelers cannot drop down to be the seven. And do you think that the division is realistically in play? As I was talking to Bob, the line moved even more significantly in Baltimore's favor. The line continues to shift to near historical marks by how much the Ravens are favored by the lowly 3-13 Browns. 412-928-9370. Sean has a headline, and we're back on the Pump and Joe Show. Austin Bechtold, your friend City Limits, in for the guys.